Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Fun fact, I woke up with a migraine.
Oh, no.
So my doctor prescribes me Ativan for like anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, whenever one comes on, just take those because it really will help.
Oh.
And it does. But now I feel nothing.
Megan's just sitting here like eyes glazed over like, let's talk about housewives.
So if I seem a little less than peppy, that's why.
We're just going to like stitch in some of your other lines from like other podcasts where you're like, yay. Or we'll just like add in a laugh once in a while.
Like, so there was a reunion.
Okay, well then you decide what we're going to talk about first.
Okay, well obviously Southern Charm Reunion Part 1.
Clearly.
And I want to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County because the Gina stuff, Choo Choo Train,
woo!
Real Housewives of Potomac, they started their first leg of the trip.
Finally.
So much drama. And then I think we should end up with Below Deck Med.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot to cover today.
Right.
Plus, we have an interview with Tamra Judge from Real Housewives of Orange County. Let's get into it. Southern Charm Reunion, Part 1. Your first note is, Naomi is so beautiful, I can't take it.
I can't take it. She is so beautiful.
My first note is, Naomi went a little too hard on the self-tanner.
Okay, I agree, but is it just because everyone else is so pale?
Possibly, but it kind of was giving me like Barbara from Roni vibes where
no,
you were like her legs
were
well, not that she was shining, like she wasn't shimmering
in the
light.
She didn't look orange.
She looked like she was auditioning for Jersey Shore. I mean, it was like, and I do agree. I think she's so beautiful and I love Naomi, but like, woof.
I guess I need to also familiarize myself with LaBay more because I didn't realize that they do like a gown.
No, I didn't either.
Thought it was just like cute little t-shirts.
Well, now
something.
We know.
Now we know.
Now you have your reunion look.
Yeah.
Planned.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think about just so, your overall thoughts on the talking points of this first part of the reunion?
I actually really appreciated them because I think it's a lot of stuff that's come up this season and that you and I have talked about. And I think to get into it, a lot of it is this idea of privilege,
right?
And who works, who doesn't work, how hard do they work? And I think they did a good job. Like Andy went around and kind of discussed it and hit it with everyone. And I think the big one is kind of Shep. Right?
Right.
So, Shep, I'm not really sure what he does, really, all day long. Austin, at least we know, has this beer thing that he's doing. Craig's got his pillows. What is Shep doing?
Right. And but aside from just the pillows, Craig also has bought and sold properties.
Right. That's true. Okay. And I guess that is what Shep is doing. He bought a swamp.
Right, but then I think he didn't. I don't know.
But then something like wasn't really working. He didn't listen to camera. But then he got into the whole discussion of, you know, or they got into the discussion of trust funds.
Right.
And we talked about it with Tinsley on Roni because that came up at the reunion about, well, what does Tinsley do? Where does her money come from? And she talked about, well, I just have a trust fund. Like, that's where I get paid. That's what my income is this trust fund. And so that's where Shep gets a lot of his money.
So I'll ask you, if you had a trust fund tomorrow, like you discovered, would you still work?
I would absolutely still work. I think I would find ways to do more of the things that I, you know, really want to do. And perhaps that's like helping people. Like, I'd like to think that if I came into a bunch of money, I would start foundations and do work on nonprofit organizations and like, the very good-natured humanitarian in me would come out. But I could go the other way, too.
Mm.
Just become some kind of awful party animal, horrible person.
Oh, you'd have the sickest apartment.
I would have a great apartment. Well, what about you? If you had, all of a sudden, you discovered a trust fund.
I definitely think I would quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
I would take a year or two to just do whatever the fuck I wanted, like travel, but also just sit a lot. And then I think after those 2 years, I might get a little restless. So I would start doing like vanity projects, like write a book.
Yeah.
Produce a film.
A tell-all book? of your experience here at Bravo?
Could be. I know it would sell.
I think people would read that if we could add it to our pile over here of all the Bravo celebrities. Oh, I hope you have a trust fund.
I'd work out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'd get an amazing beach body because I'm traveling all the time, so it makes sense.
Right.
And then I don't really want to help people so much, but I would like to start my own, like, pit bull rescue on a farm.
Oh, that's so funny. I was just talking to my mom about that the other day. She was saying if she came into a bunch of money, that's all she would want to do is just have a farm and rescue animals.
So, yeah, she you guys and can I go can into go business in on it together. I love your mom.
That's so beautiful. I want to talk a little bit into what was going on with Catherine. Not so much towards the end, but I think at the beginning, this whole conversation a little bit came up about people working, mm-hmm. about people being in privilege, mm-hmm. and it came up with Cameron.
Yeah.
And sort of the things that she was saying about how tough it is to not work as a mom. And a listener or a viewer wrote in being like, well, you came from a place of privilege. You should be lucky that you could stay home with your daughter all day. The rest of us have to work.
A lot of viewers really seem to relate to your struggles with trying to be the perfect mom. But other viewers saw you as a little whiny this year. Cam, I wish working was a privilege for me and not a necessity. Then maybe I could actually spend time with my husband and child.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I mean, yes, she is privileged that she doesn't have to work and will still get fed. But I feel like mothers of all people should know that that's just such an area of personal choice. Mm-hmm. And even when you do have all the money, it's still not an easy one.
Right.
You know?
Well, and Catherine was the one who brought up the point being like every mom feels the way that you do. They just might not admit it. And I think it's very difficult to be critical of other parents' decisions. You know, everyone's a little judgmental. You can be judgmental of another person's decisions or whatever. But I think what Cam was experiencing, a lot of women and a lot of parents can relate to.
Yeah.
So let her have that.
Yeah.
And also what kept coming up at the beginning of this reunion was this idea of being on a reality show and presenting your life and being honest about your life and how people are critical of that, but you have to expect that also.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I was about to say is that, like, fans get upset when they feel that the casts of our shows aren't being authentic enough.
Okay? Right.
And then when they are, and they're like, this is actually what I'm going through right now, it's like, how dare you?
That's when people are almost more critical of them, when they are too honest.
Yes.
So it's like, what's the happy medium you want here?
Right. But I also get it watching other reality shows.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ugh.
Right. Well, and that's sort of the nature of the beast, isn't it? I mean, you'll hear Tamara say that later on in our interview. We talk about, like, who's the biggest shitster this season? And she's like, I mean, come on, everybody. That's what we're here for.
Right.
Okay, before we go into Catherine and what happens at the end of reunion, I want to talk a little bit about Craig.
The Adderall?
Yes.
Yes.
What is the reason to take it? What does it do for you?
You know, I took it in law school and it was great. And I mean, I'm prescribed it.
Do you have ADHD or something?
That's what the doctor says.
Does it make you productive?
Craig, I mean, it made you crazy.
I'm open to just saying it probably wasn't the healthiest thing for me after law school to keep taking it.
Okay. I find that topic fascinating, mm-hmm. because Vanderpump Rules, you know, that was something that they kind of came out with later on when you know, the subject of, like, they look different now. And Stassi was like, yeah, we were all on Adderall the first season.
Yeah.
She was like, that's how, she was like, first of all, because, like, we were poor, so it took away our hunger, like, we weren't eating. And, you know, it just would keep them up all night and for film, like, so they would have energy and stuff. So it is interesting that Craig kind of said the same thing. Not the money part, but just it's interesting that he uses it as a crutch.
Well, and it's also something that we all have to remember is legal. Like, it's, well, it's not, you know, we can't just go buy it in the store.
But he said he was prescribed it.
It's a prescription. And, you know, perhaps that speaks to sort of bigger issues in healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry and whatever. I had a lot of friends who did Adderall in college, and it was because they worked really hard and wanted to stay up all night and maybe put too much pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
Is Craig staying up all night studying and working? I don't know, maybe, but probably not. But either way, it's very easy to get access to something like that. And it's very easy to abuse it then, because it's so much a part of our culture, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. So, you know, thank God Craig has sort of come out the other side of that. But everyone kind of went around and was like, yeah, we think you're addicted to Adderall, Craig.
Right.
And they were getting on him about the eyeliner and everything, too. And then the nail polish. And
that made me a little uncomfortable.
Right. And I mean, we talked about it when that episode happened. And I was sort of like, if he wants to wear eyeliner. But I also understand the repercussions of wearing eyeliner out on Halloween and it taking days for it to come off.
But I think I was more shocked by Cameron's reaction when he was like, well, I finally have an excuse to paint my nails. She was like, oh, God, Craig.
Right.
It's an excuse to paint my fingernails. And
my God, Craig.
But I think that speaks to just where they live.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit more conservative.
Right. The heteronormative, like, men don't paint their nails. Yes. Silly Craig. And it's like, well, he can do whatever he wants. First of all, Carson Daly was doing it in the 90s on TRL.
Yeah.
And I resurrected it, I have to say, a few years back when I lived in LA. I used to let my friend paint my pinky nail.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to bring that back because Craig brought it back and it's for a good cause, the Polished Man, which is to raise awareness for abused children. So, you know what? Craig is out here trying and Let's let him have that.
So now I want to get into the Catherine stuff.
Okay, yes.
Because you interviewed Catherine the same day that she went on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
So I wasn't in the room, but we had talked a little bit and you were like, you know, something seemed
a little off. Yes. So she, as you guys probably saw on Watch What Happens Live, seemed a little nervous, a little jittery. Something felt a little off about her. And when she was here in the room, the first thing she said when she sat down was that she was nervous. She was like, oh, yeah, I'm just like, I'm a little stressed out. Like, I'm having anxiety. It's okay, whatever. And I was like, okay. And then we went through the interview. She was fine. She was fun. She sort of loosened up a little bit more. And then she went and did some video stuff and seemed okay. At the reunion, she talks a little bit about, well, you know, that day I was going through a lot of stuff. There were some custody issues. And honestly, it reminded me of, and you're going to laugh at this, but it reminded me of years ago when Mariah Carey performed on
TRL.
I think it was not TRL, but it was like Rockefeller Center, like at the tree lighting. Do you remember? Sarah's nodding. She remembers
that one.
And she was like terrible. Like she was off. She just like was pitchy. She like wouldn't sing. She was being, you know, whatever. And later on, shortly after that incident, Mariah, you know, kind of released a statement basically saying, that day I went and I finalized my divorce. I signed my divorce papers hours before that performance. So I was just totally out of it and totally emotional. And like perhaps she had taken some medication, something that made her feel a little loopy. So thinking about maybe what Catherine was going through at that time, we don't know what's going on in their personal lives. And sometimes that might affect their behavior.
And I do think her hands are tied, you know, because here's the thing. I was shocked, too, when she said she's allowed to drink. And the rest of the cast visibly was, too.
Right.
Because on camera, she will abstain.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she is in this weird holding pattern where she wouldn't even be able to say, yeah, I had a drink, even though she's allowed, because it could be used against her.
Exactly.
Like, Thomas is so litigious and who knows?
And everyone was a little bit putting blame on her, in a sense, being like, we've had to cover for you so much in the past and say that you don't drink or you're not drinking or we didn't see you drink. And then all of a sudden, it comes out at the reunion that she was potentially drinking backstage at Watch What Happens Live, which my question is, who's the narc? Who spotted her? Or didn't spot her, but decided to text both Cameron and Naomi from backstage.
Right.
Catherine, like, you getting so aggressive with Austin just now, and I wasn't going to say this, but somebody there saw you drinking before the show.
Slamming.
And
yeah, there were multiple people there.
And texted all of
that
us.
I mean, texted lots
that's
of us.
That's bullshit. Who? And that's bullshit.
Because we've been backstage at Watch What Happens Live.
It's a tight crew.
It's small. There's not a lot of people back there. The dressing rooms where you get ready are small. There's not a lot of people in there. So,
but I also want to know, I want them to call out Madison and ask her. Madison would know.
Why?
Because she was in the audience at Watch What Happens Live.
True.
So she was with Catherine.
Interesting. Well, we have Madison coming on the podcast. So.
We shall ask.
Speaking of Madison, part two of the reunion, we're going to have her come out.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you know what I noticed? And I think this was an article on BravoTV.com on Lookbook, that she's wearing white at the reunion. And it is perhaps a little nod to Shep's comment about her being white trash.
Oh.
So that's another thing we'll have to ask her about.
Real Housewives of Orange County. The continuation of the craziness at Tamara's housewarming party.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I laughed at out loud was Vicky referring to Bronwyn as Brown Wind.
I don't know who Brown Wind is.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, okay. I was like, she sees some new meat and she's ready to break her in. So
she's like, boring wind. I don't know. That's what I've heard. And it's like, what? Stop. This is exactly what people are talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, the housewarming goes according to housewife standards. Trying to work it through with Kelly. Kelly wants nothing to do with Vicky. They're in a tough place.
Yeah. I do appreciate Bronwyn's just complete honesty and upfrontness. I can't imagine looking at Vicky and saying, yeah, I don't know about you. Don't know if I like you. But Bronwyn did.
Well, and, you know, I respect that.
I do. I respect that.
Because that's, you know, she's getting off to a good start then.
Yeah.
One thing I want to talk about, too, is Vicky's comment that she denies making, but thank you, Bravo editors and producers, for giving us the receipts. She calls Gina a jailbird.
Right.
Another jailbird.
But I hear that you actually were calling her up saying, I would never say that. Another jailbird. I don't know. That's a lie. So don't bring up lies.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Don't hear gossip unless you hear it from me.
Where is her sympathy for Gina? Because I thought by the end of last season, Vicky had a little bit come around to being like, okay, she's going through a tough time. I'm not going to treat her poorly.
Drinking and driving, though, is such a sensitive topic where I feel like on one hand, you want to be sympathetic to the person. But on the other hand, if things had gone wrong, the entire, like, forgetting about Gina's life is now ruined. The negative press that would surround Orange County and all of Bravo, you know, it's like you just put a lot of things at risk. Most importantly, someone else's life by getting in a car drunk. But I do know that mistakes happen. Right. So,
and I wonder if it's a little bit too of Vicky trying to, I don't want to say write off a newbie, so to speak. But basically being like another jailbird, like she is not thinking before she acts. She's making these mistakes and that's not what's going to get you in the long run in Orange County.
Mm.
Right?
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's keep talking about Brown Wind, because she and Shannon go out to dinner and have a really amazing conversation where they really connect.
Yeah. I mean, I was fascinated with the information Bronwyn was sharing about her daughter and the OCD and then the eating disorder.
She has OCD and she has it pretty bad. And so last year it got to the point where getting out of bed was hard for her. She was broken down.
I think it speaks a lot to the pressure that kids put on themselves today, the pressure that parents put on their kids to succeed. Because oftentimes, especially with parents, it comes from a place of they always want better for their kids than they had. So maybe that sometimes turns into just this unbearable pressure for kids that they don't know how to deal with at a certain age. And Shannon really connected with that too, just knowing what her daughters went through and what they saw with the divorce and the way that Shannon was fighting. And I like that they both came to this conclusion of like, we also need to manage our expectations of our kids and be proud of them at every level, no matter what they're accomplishing, like praising them for that.
Right.
And Shannon got really emotional about it. It was funny because Bronwyn was the one kind of like opening up and then Shannon's just like bawling and Bronwyn was like, are you okay? Like, I'm the one telling my story here. But then Shannon kind of related it back to her family.
Yeah.
And it made sense.
So the part of this episode that I am most interested to hear back from fans about is what they thought when Gina admitted that Matt cheated on her and that's sort of what led to the divorce.
Right.
Because on one hand, I'm not surprised at all, but I guess I am surprised that she wouldn't just say it because that is sort of the oldest excuse in terms of like what leads to divorce, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just that it didn't make sense to me as a married woman to hear her last season be like, no, I mean, I'm totally attracted to him. He is my best friend. I'm like, then you wouldn't be getting divorced. If you have three kids together.
Yeah.
And you have those elements, there can be problems, but that's not divorce worthy.
Well, right. And it doesn't sound like it was one indiscretion. Well, it was an affair. So that's ongoing. And I think, to your point, that we all maybe suspected, just given how it was set up last season, Matt was living in LA a lot of the time. I think everybody sort of had an idea. And we learn that Emily knew from Gina and didn't say anything, which I think says a lot about Emily's character.
Totally.
Because anytime you learn a bit of secret information on the Housewives,
it comes out.
That can easily be used against you. What's interesting is that Tamara says it on the show, and then you guys will hear it later on in her interview. She also had heard rumors, and none of it was confirmed. She didn't say anything. She sort of let that go, but it all sort of adds up.
Yeah. I didn't like, though, and I think it was really hard for Gina to say this on camera, but to say to Emily, your problem is going to seem so stupid now.
Right.
Your problem seems so stupid right now. That's what I'm going to tell you.
I was like, okay, first of all, a best friend never says that to another best friend. Because
no.
Even if your problems are totally different, and the thing is, you're supposed to be non-judgy and be like, yeah, tell me your issue.
Right.
Like, my best friend will be going through some of the most terrible things, and then she'll be like, hey, how's that little problem? And I'm like, that is so nice that you care. But
right.
Like, she does, because that's what best friends do.
Yeah. And there has to be a balance. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to necessarily try to weigh out, my problems are worse
yeah.
than yours, so I need more of the attention and support in this friendship right now. No, not exactly. I mean, look at what Emily's going through.
And what Emily's going through also really sucks.
Let's talk a little bit about Emily and what she's going through and this sexy dance she would like to perform for her husband.
Yes. For their anniversary.
For their anniversary. So I am 100% behind Emily, supportive of her for sure. What I'm confused a little bit by is her expectation of how Shane's going to react.
Right.
Because we have to remember, he's Mormon.
And Gina, yeah, I think she stated that very well. Like,
yeah.
This is a guy who doesn't even like cursing in his home.
Exactly.
Why would he go to Vegas to watch you dance in lingerie?
Like, all of those factors seem to be the most like anti-Mormon thing that you can do.
But
that being said, Emily is your wife of 10 years. And for her to want to put on this kind of performance for you in such a kind of sexy, romantic way, let her have it.
First of all, most men would die for that.
Absolutely.
Second of all, you know what she went through with all the body shaming last season.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that will like help her get her confidence back.
Yes.
Just fucking support her, man.
This is something I think that's more for her than it is for him. And he cannot see things from anywhere else than his own perspective. He's like, I'm studying for the bar. I need this, this, and this. I need you to do this. He cannot see anything outside of this little glass case that he's in right now. And it's really frustrating for us as viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't even imagine what it's like for Emily.
Yeah.
But we are going to get her sexy dance, right? You've watched a little ahead.
I believe we will.
Okay, good. Because I am here for it. Emily, dance for me. It's fine. Okay, before we wrap on this, the choo-choo train.
Come on, ride the train.
Now,
not at all.
I tried to get it out of Tamara in the interview too, being like, what is this new bit of information we have on Kelly? And as much as it appears that Vicky is the one who is bringing it up yet again, a new allegation against Kelly, Tamara's the one that throws it out in the middle
that
of the dinner.
Says the buzzword.
Right.
Train.
Are you talking about the train?
Tamara, talk about that.
Exactly. And so now everyone is curious, wondering what this is about. What the hell?
So we know something with a train involving Kelly.
Yes.
I have my theories.
I have mine too.
But I think that next episode, we'll know for sure.
Right. choo-choo.
Oh, I mean, so this isn't really a rose or a thorn, but I just wanted to say, I think Gina's dad is pretty good looking.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, her parents are pretty young. He is, you know, he's a good looking, Long Island living, daddy. Native New Yorker daddy.
Daddy.
We need more. More of Mr. Kirchenheiser.
Kirchenheiser.
Even though that's not his name.
That's not his name. That's Matt's name. Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish. To try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing. So I got the chance to sit down with Real Housewives of Orange County's Tamra Judge. We talked about her new home that I'm in love with in Coto de Casa, update on her husband Eddie's health, and why she is currently not speaking to Kelly Dodd. She and Shannon Bedore seem to have that in common. Let's take a listen. All right, guys, we are here with Tamra Judge from Real Housewives of Orange County. Hi, Tamra.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
So everyone can't see, but you are wearing a Tres Amigas necklace.
Yes, all blinged out.
So who are the Tres Amigas currently?
Well, there's always only been one set of Tres Amigas.
Okay.
And that's me, Shannon, and Vicky.
Okay, fair. Well, in the latest episode, you mentioned, do we have some new Tres Amigas? But are those the Tres Princesas? Is that the name?
They're just castmates.
Okay,
there's
fair.
There's only... Tres Amigas. That's
okay.
It. There's no,
right.
There's no knockoffs. There's no replicas. It's just us.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Well, early in this season, we see that your sons have some contrasting political views. So since then, have they been able to work out their differences?
Yeah, you'll actually see them this season working out their differences.
Okay.
And there's just a new rule. They're not allowed to talk about politics, and they don't follow each other on social media.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next question was going to be, do you have advice for other parents who may be going through something similar with their families?
It's tough because I'm not into politics. So it's really weird to have two kids that are just extreme, strong believers, and they talk about it all the time. Spencer's been talking about politics since he was about 5.
Right.
So it's just something that's in him. He loves politics, history. Ryan never really was into politics until just recently with Trump. So, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't give anybody advice because you just don't.
I think it's agree to disagree, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What else can you do?
Just, what can you do?
I want to talk a little bit, too, about Shannon and the big transformation that we've seen from her over the last year. So how much of a support system were you for her in her journey to kind of come back to herself?
Yeah, I think it was something that Shannon had to heal inside because a lot of the weight gain was caused by stress, emotional eating. And as soon as she healed her heart, I feel like the weight just fell off.
Were you able to help her, give her any tips in terms of workout?
We talk about it all the time as far as food. Can I eat this? And we go to dinner. I'm like, no, you're not eating that. You know, so yeah. But she's about 30 minutes away from me. So working out at Cut Fitness just didn't work for her.
Right. Well, tell us about the new house.
Yeah.
Cape Cod Modern, which is like my favorite kind
of
decor.
Oh, I love it. So our last house really didn't work out for us. It was just didn't feel at home. We had some neighbors that didn't want us filming. So they tried to make life hard for us. So we decided, you know what? We're just going to sell. Actually, we weren't even thinking about selling at the moment. Somebody just called us and said, you interested in selling? I'm like, yeah, sure. It was just meant to be. Sold, 2-week escrow, all cash. Another friend called me and said, I heard you sold your house. I got this great house in Cota you're going to love. And we had thought about moving to Cota when we bought the last house. And I said, let's go look at it. And we bought it. It happened within a week.
Was Vicky rubbing it in that you finally made the choice to move?
No, not so much. Okay. But she did walk into the house and she goes, wow, you had to outdo us all. That's what she said. I think that's her way of saying nice house.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's the Vicky Gumbelson way of saying it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the housewarming party. So you invited Vicky. Were you nervous at all to let Kelly know that Vicky was going to be there?
Well, yeah. I thought that it would be only the right thing to do to let Kelly know that Vicky was coming. Vicky's my neighbor. I'm not going to not invite her. I understand where Kelly was coming from. I've been in that situation where Vicky was spreading rumors, so I could sympathize with Kelly. So I thought the best thing to do is let her know.
I loved the moment with you and Shannon where you were talking and you were trying to like will Vicky into say like, what can I do? What can I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think that in that situation in particular, you were looking for Vicky to be the bigger person?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your relationship like with Kelly at the moment?
Oh, I don't speak to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any reasons that we'll see this season?
The weird thing is no, not really. I mean, it's just the strangest thing. I was her supporter. I tried to help her through, all this Vicky stuff, the rumors. I talked very highly of her, and I left to go away for a weekend without cameras and came back to a storm where she was trying to turn everybody against me. And I'm like, what did you do? Like, what happened? What happened? And she's like, she said something about me spreading rumors. I said, I never spread a rumor about you. But she doesn't listen. She's too impulsive. And then she gets dirty and mean. And then it just got to a point where she was so vicious to me and Shannon that neither one of us really wanted anything to do with her.
Wow. Well, at dinner with Gina, Shannon, Bronwyn, and Vicky is when this sort of second round of rumors come up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where are all these stories coming from?
Well, Vicky had talked to one of Kelly's friends. And he's the one that gave all this information to Vicky.
Okay.
So Vicky had it and she was,
And you guys had sort of agreed not to bring it up, but then it kind of came up.
It comes up.
And that was sort of a pact that you were like, we're not going to shed
light
on
I don't know that
this.
It was like a big pack. It was just if Kelly finds out, she's going to flip her lid, like if she finds this out. So, and Vicky kept threatening. So it got to the point where I'm like, if you're just going to just say it, like stop threatening. Like I have more information. Like that's almost as bad.
Yeah.
As saying it.
Right.
So.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Gina now. So we learn that Matt actually had an affair very early on before you guys were friends with Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised to find out that they were still seeing each other?
Surprised to find out they were still seeing each other?
Well, Matt and the new woman.
Yeah. I mean, she said that they had broken up and he had moved on and wasn't dating and they had been doing things together so that she actually had hope that they were going to get back together.
Yeah. And that was another thing that you guys had kind of heard about maybe prior, but nobody really spoke on it because Gina was in such a sensitive place last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had heard about it. I knew.
Right.
But I didn't say anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So I totally
it's
get
not
that.
My business.
If we were to look at this new season as a whole, who would the biggest pot stirrer be?
The biggest pot stirrer? I don't even know that we really had a pot stirrer this year. I feel like everybody was just kind of doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the conflict was between Kelly and Vicky. It was just kind of continuing since the reunion. So it was no big that I mean, no.
Right. Maybe everyone had a little spoon and was just kind of...
I mean, isn't that the nature of the game?
That's true.
We all got spoons.
Well, let's talk a little bit about new housewife Bronwyn.
Uh-huh.
So you guys kind of hit it off right away, she and Shannon as well. There's kind of an instant connection. Is the friendship still going strong today?
Yeah, I talk to her almost every single day. Super sweet. I think that she's a great addition to the show, and I think she's going to be on for the long run.
Yeah. She recently actually spoke to us at BravoTV.com about using your CBD product and how the whole family actually uses it.
She's a big supporter of CBD.
That's
so
awesome.
I gave her some of my products. She loves it. Her mother also is a holistic doctor, and I gave her some, and she raves about it. So,
tell us a little more about Dr. Deb. Because she's fascinating.
She's yeah, I keep thinking of the word to use. Fascinating is a good one. Interesting, fascinating. She's really nice. She just has such a kind heart. But then she's kind of out there a little bit too. So it's funny because you like see her on Instagram and she's like topless in her jacuzzi talking about like, you know, love and all this stuff, which is great. I mean, it's
totally.
It's just, I love to hear somebody that has so many nice things to say. And with social media, there's so much hate going on that it's refreshing to follow her.
Right. No, I agree. So talk a little bit more about the CBD. How did you guys get involved with that?
We started investigating about 3 years ago. And we were a little bit concerned with the laws, because the laws are very strict back then and the farm bill had not passed. So we kind of shelved it. And then our dog got sick, got cancer, and everybody was saying, give him CBD. So we went back, started researching more, and then we started developing our own CBD line.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really
awesome. It's been amazing. So VenaCBD.com.
Okay. Awesome. In this most recent episode, we also saw that you were moving your mom, Sandy, into a new apartment on her own.
Yes.
But that I guess her neighbors are a bit wild.
Yes.
So is your mom partying it up right now? Or
she doesn't tell me. She must be. She's been off quiet lately. So my mom was living with my brother, and she's just too young to live with somebody. So I'm like, and she kept bitching about it. So I'm like, come on, I'm just going to get you a place. So I rented her an apartment in a 55 and older, a senior, I guess you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 51. That sucks. it's like crazy town. Like they're getting drunk and jumping in the pool with their clothes on. Like these old people just having a lot of fun.
It's like college, but like the later years.
Yeah. It's like these people don't have any worries in the world. Other their kids are paying for their apartments and they're just, they're like college kids just drinking in the middle of the day. And I'm like, wow,
sounds great.
What a great life. Yeah.
Well, last season we saw actually Eddie, who's in the room now, going through a lot of health issues.
Uh-huh.
So Eddie, I could ask you, how are you doing today? Eddie says he's doing great, if you guys couldn't hear that.
He's doing great. He's on the mend. He's healed of the AFib.
That's awesome.
So that's good. So he still has another procedure to go, but other than that, he's a very happy man now. He can ride his bicycle 100 miles, 80 miles, whatever he wants to do, and that makes him happy.
Awesome. Well, what is one more thing we have to look forward to this season that you're excited about?
The launch of our new business, that's for sure. We still have Cut Fitness. We have Vena CBD. We have our launch party this year. I think just in a whole, the season's good. And the past couple of years, I'm going to say we're a little weak. We're a little weak in the entertainment department. And I think this year, I think everyone's going to be very entertained.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Tamara, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Potomac?
Potomac.
So Robin misses her flight.
In classic Robin Dixon form, she completely... How can you do that?
I've never missed a flight.
I have never missed a flight.
I mean, knock on wood.
Right. And you know, like you and I both kind of... We don't show up to work on time every day. We're not here. 10 o'clock on the dot, right?
That would be the most accurate thing you've said all day.
So that being said... When it comes to something where there is a hard deadline,
right,
where something that I need will no longer happen at a certain time, I will make sure that I am there for it.
That's the thing. Like, there's no reason I necessarily need to be at my desk by a certain hour. But if there is a meeting, if there's an interview, those are things it's like you change your morning around to make sure you get there on time.
Exactly.
A flight is... a major one of those things.
Particularly on a trip in which you have organized and you have all the information, like you've made the reservations, you're kind of the one in charge.
And every second you're not there, you're just missing out on money, basically.
Right.
Missing out on a free drink, a dinner.
And then probably spending money to rebook a new flight.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're talking about a quick trip. We're talking Cayman Islands. So we get to the Cayman Islands. First of all, I'm super glad that Katie is with us because she is the gift that keeps on giving.
Is her hair the gift that keeps on giving?
Yes.
Katie, what is this wig? Did it just die?
It's not dead.
It's not dead?
No.
Okay, we're bringing it back to life. I mean, it's not a lot.
I just don't understand.
She looks so good in every other hair choice.
Her natural hair, too.
Right.
Beautiful.
Right. It's something like leftover from the 70s or 80s.
And the women are trying to tell her, and she's like, she's just not accepting it.
Right, right. I mean, take a lesson from Karen Huger. Her wigs are different all the time.
And she's really upgraded this season.
She has, truly. Speaking of Karen, she and Giselle do not have very good luck in hotel lobbies.
They just, I don't think, can be friends.
I think you're right.
And I would not want to travel with them together because just the constant bickering. And yeah, in the hotel lobby. Like, this is our introduction to everyone on this resort.
Do you think Robin was a little bit trying to maybe punish Giselle for her behavior at the open
1,000%.
By placing her with Karen?
Yes. Yes.
Like, she's like, well, I wanted them to work out their issues. I think it'd be good for them. Girl, that's not what you were doing.
No.
Well, it didn't end up happening anyway because after that fight about this friendship and being honest about Karen's perfume, whatever it is, these two cannot see eye to eye. Sharing a room together is never going to solve these problems. It's only going to make them worse.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just better this way.
What did you think about Katie's fight with Ashley?
Maybe Ashley is taking it out on Katie more so than she has some of the other women, and I'm not sure why. I think maybe it's because she wanted to kind of rebuild a friendship with Katie and welcomed her back in and started to trust her again, and then just found out Katie's been talking shit behind her back.
And not just shit, but being like she's stupid.
Yeah.
So you really think she's naive?
I think that she's stupid.
It's not even like Katie was just talking about rumors about Michael or things that we've seen the women talk about all season, and everyone has sort of said something about Michael, whether it's been more negative or not. It's different with each woman. But Katie was kind of being really rude about Ashley and called her dumb and then called her not dumb, but stupid. She's like, maybe you're not dumb. You're just stupid. Well, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. And then for Ashley to be like, I don't know if you're emotionally strong enough to be in this group.
You are not mentally strong enough to handle being in this group of women.
But Katie, I thought, handled it really well.
Yeah, I think Katie's definitely in a rough place right now emotionally, and maybe this trip is not the best for her, as much as I'm glad she's there. I was getting a little Scary Island vibe.
I thought that's the direction we were going in.
Right.
But then she sort of turned it around and was just like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And da 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 da.
Isn't that not totally an apology, though?
Oh, of course.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. No, of course not.
That's when you're not actually sorry, but you want to sort of end the argument. You want to just leave it there. You're like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
She ain't sorry.
Agree to disagree.
Well, in the after show this week, Ashley also mentions that she really did want to try to trust Katie again and sort of learned the hard way by finding out that Katie's been talking shit about her behind her back. She found out the hard way that maybe she and Katie are just never going to connect. So let's take a listen.
I thought that we were in a good place where everyone would just let go, have fun, not argue, not judge, not have confrontations, but
that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I let you into my life, and then you go back and tell people shit that I never said or did.
Katie and I had spent a lot of time together in New Orleans, so I thought our friendship was rebuilding. When we reconnected, I thought we were really building a friendship. But then I hear from Giselle that Katie was apparently saying things about me and Michael, and it was completely contrary to how Katie had been talking to me to my face.
Really?
So I was a little bit surprised that she was really smiley, because apparently she had like a very strong opinion about Michael and me. She wanted to be so nice and all in my face, like, oh, hey, girl, on the beach. No, it wasn't going down that way. You've been saying a lot of shit about me,
Katie. I have not. That's absolutely not true. That's completely crazy, actually. Not true.
You said that Jacob said that Michael was gay.
So what?
That's not true.
That's not saying anything about you.
That's my husband.
What I said was that I had a different perspective on things just because of something that Jacob had said to me.
I can't believe that I even trusted her in the first place. Everyone told me not to. Katie wanted to like become friends with Giselle and Robin, so she wanted to like say something that was like salacious and to be controversial and to jump on the bandwagon. And I think she saw that at that time as an opportunity to really get some clout in the group, because really before that she was quite invisible. No one saw her. And so she thought that was a way to try to get some recognition, I guess.
Okay, Kate, is there something that you might want to apologize for?
Like what?
You want to apologize for calling her dumb?
You are stupid and you are dumb.
I am, but yet I'm the one who has an unemployed man living in my house after a month of knowing him. You need to fill the void in your heart and not between your legs, girl, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Why would I not believe Katie's version of what she said on the beach? Because it's the same pattern of behavior from Michael. I find it very difficult, and I wish I could believe, but I do not believe Ashley's version. Again, that's a master of deflection move, you know, and it's not working. We're not buying it as a group of women, as a group of friends. We're all sitting here listening to her thinking she's so in denial, and that's why she needs us more than ever.
I saw what appeared to me to be one of the few times that Ashley's exhibited real emotion when she was arguing with Katie.
You don't have to throw fuel on the fire. You know I was going through a hard time.
Maybe that is because Ashley trusted Katie. And she's maybe shocked that now she's opening her mouth to start drama about Michael.
I've known from the beginning that Katie shouldn't be trusted based on our first times hanging out together. So I knew that I shouldn't, but I just didn't listen to my gut, and I did. And so, you know, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me, honey. There won't be a third time.
Okay, let's talk Below Deck Med. This episode was super supersized.
And super dramatic.
Yeah. Before we get into all of the nitty gritty, June reminds me of Kendra from Girls Next Door.
I love that you pulled out that reference.
Right?
I was just talking to someone the other day about Girls Next Door, and he hadn't watched it, and I was like, this amazing show.
It's so good. And when I first saw her, I think physically she reminded me of Kendra. And then the more she got to talking and not understanding things like 7:15, the more I started to be like, okay, you're a lot personality-wise like Kendra. And don't get it twisted. I love Kendra. She was like probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Holly was like, no, Holly was everyone's least favorite. Bridget was everyone's favorite.
Holly was my favorite.
She would be your favorite.
Because she was the main bitch.
I know, but she knew it, and she was like, oh, she was like contrived.
I genuinely just felt so that she loved Hef so much. Mm. Then I read the memoirs, and things were not so pleasant in that house.
Right. Well, either way, Bridget to me was the number one.
I just think this is important. Everyone who is not seeing Girls Next Door, really find a way to watch it, stream it.
Yeah.
Then go and read Holly Madison's books about it.
Yeah.
This is important. I'm sorry. It's just a very important cultural touchstone.
I think so, too. I think you're right.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. So, June looks like Kendra. So, the love tap.
Ugh.
No, hey, say, you don't do that. You don't slap a girl. I'm not f***ing joking.
Are you f***ing serious?
Yes.
You guys, sit down, mate.
This is where I get up and f*** someone up.
It was not a love tap.
That was no love tap.
And by the way, I've been in that situation. I've had a guy who thought he was like being funny and lightly slapping my face when he was drunk. Slap it hard.
The face is off limits.
If you have never been slapped in the face, there is just this rage that takes over you in that moment. It's like this feeling of embarrassment and of shock and of like, it's stinging and it's just like, worst.
Anastasia, it took her almost a full day to really come around to be like, how do I feel about this?
Yeah.
Because it is so shocking, and you do have that mix of emotions initially. And you know, Joao got involved. Colin, everyone was sort of on their feet being like, what the hell are you doing, Travis? Like, that's inappropriate. And at first, I think Anastasia didn't take it as seriously as...
No, she was crying.
Well, she was. But I think it took her a full day to really come around to how she felt about it.
Be like, that's not okay.
So everyone pretty much reacted with the shock, the anger, being like, why would you do that, Travis? That's so inappropriate. You're drinking too much. You never hit a woman. You never hit anyone in the face like that. What
Except
I was
Aisha.
Exactly. What I was very surprised by was Aisha's reaction.
I agree completely.
I feel so bad for Travis because we did it all the time to our friends at home. Like, if he did that to me, the whole outcome would have been completely different.
What confused me the most was just a few episodes ago, we saw Jack make a comment inappropriately to Aisha about rape. And she was like, that's not funny. You can't say that. I've been through assault in my life. So you need to remember before you say things that people have had other experiences. That same logic should apply to this situation. You don't know what Anastasia's been through.
And now we as viewers do that she's right. had alcoholic, abusive boyfriends.
Yeah. Anyone who's witnessed any kind of abuse in their life, even if it's not firsthand, it could be secondhand. You never know another person's experience. So
especially, you know, I just now remember Joao's whole experience with his mom mm-hmm. and him watching her get brutally attacked by these guys. So that's a trigger for him also.
Right, exactly. So everyone kind of confronts Travis about it. Eventually, I think he comes around, but it doesn't seem to really get through to him, even though everyone is saying it.
Yeah.
What is the block there? Is it his denial that he has an alcohol problem? Is it just yes. that he's trying to write it off as this cultural difference? Like, you think it's the alcohol?
I think if he rewatched it, he would see it differently.
Yeah. Well, it does come up in the after show.
Well, I'm going to go check out that clip because I'm very curious to see what his reaction would be.
Yeah. Hannah speaks about it in the after show, basically saying, regardless of whatever, you just don't put your hands on another crew member in any way, shape, or form. Whether you're out having drinks, partying up, whatever, or actually working on deck, there's just a rule.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't put your hands on another crew member. You're all still professionals. You have to maintain that and just have some decency.
Right.
Do you think Captain Sandy was justified firing June?
Yes, because I don't think it was personal. It was, we had, like, it's a situation mm-hmm. but it's also as a business person, you're not going to pay for more than what you need.
Yeah,
that just wouldn't be prudent.
Yeah, I'm conflicted only because I don't know if those terms were necessarily given to June when she accepted the position.
True.
And because it seemed like she was kind of blindsided by the whole thing and didn't really know that her being there was contingent upon Anastasia's decision
yeah.
to either stay on as chef or... So it is weird. I understand how it played out that way, but I did feel really bad for her.
Yeah, I'll agree.
And then Colin's reaction just made me love Colin even more because he got so emotional about it.
Yeah.
And now, is he going to leave?
I think so.
He can't. Just...
But he doesn't... I don't think this fulfills him.
Yeah, he does kind of talk about that in this episode. He misses being at home. I mean, we spoke to him about living in Long Island, being a captain of the Fire Island Ferry. He seems very happy to be doing that in his yeah. life, and maybe yachting isn't for him.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, the conversation between June and Captain Sandy, because June was like, that's not nice. And you can see she's like fighting back tears.
Yeah.
And her being like, I helped you. And Captain Sandy's like, and you've been paid for your service.
Well, we called you on. I was in a jam with the chef, and now I have a chef coming. Your position's now redundant, and I have to let you go. I'm really sorry.
That's crazy.
I'll give you a great
That's
reference.
That's not nice.
This isn't, honestly,
I mean, I get
this
it. This is
personal.
Yachting. This is, no.
Right. It's but work. It's just, it's anything in life. Like,
it's just a shame. Like, that really, I mean, I did a favor last minute, and I flew across the world.
And you've been paid for your service.
Because there's this scene in Mad Men where Peggy says to Don, like, you know, I did this. And he goes, and you were paid to do it. You never say thank you. That's what the money's for. Right. We're just right. Like, it isn't personal. It's business.
Yeah.
Like, you give a service, you get paid for it. And yeah. That's kind of where it ends.
No, it's true. It is all a business. This is what yachting is about. It's not always going to be easy or clean. And no matter what kind of job or position you're in, when you're let go, it's an emotional experience. Yes. So, of course, June is going to react that way. But Captain Sandy was very much trying to be like, this isn't personal. It's just business. You've been paid. This is how the cards fell. Do cards right. fall? Is that the right phrase?
This is how the cookie crumbles.
This is how the cookie crumbles.
My one small irritation of the show in general, the season, mm-hmm. the girls kiss each other way too much. Like, you are literally in the same room going to bed, and they're like, all right, good night. And it's like, oh, good morning. And it's like, you see each other all day.
Right.
What's with the kissing?
That's true. That's a good point. If it were the guys, would you be okay with it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was okay with it when, you know, Jack's standing there over Travis, and he's like completely naked, and they're just like having a discussion about what happened last night. I was like, oh.
That's different, though. Because totally. I will say, it's even when my parents are in town, and it's like, okay, well, we'll see. Yeah, you will see me in 2 hours. We don't need to hug.
Right. I get it only because before I moved in with Danny, just at the beginning of the month, I lived with one of my best friends, Janelle. And we had lived together in college, and we've been friends ever since then. And just circumstantially, we ended up living together again. But, like, before I would go to bed every night, if she was still up, like, I would go and, like, kiss her on the cheek and be like,
really?
Good night. Yeah, every night. I mean, because days would go by where we wouldn't see each other because she often works nights. She, like, works in community theaters. She does a lot of youth theaters. She's auditioning. She's in plays. So she has very much an opposite schedule as I do. So we would sometimes not see each other for a few days. But because she was, like, a friend.
Interesting.
So I guess it's a little different because I wasn't spent. It'd be like if you and I kissed each other goodbye at the end of every workday. Like, good night.
Right.
Because we see each other all day every other day.
Weird.
Yeah. Stop kissing, girls.
All right, should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose is, so Louise is back on Million Dollar Listing New York.
Yes.
And he just announced that he's having a baby. So if you guys didn't know that, we've covered it on BravoTV.com on The Dish, so check it out. But he left New York. He had a lot of experiences. He was going through a lot of, you know, emotional, mental health things, really came around and I think found himself again and is now ready to take the next step as a dad. So congrats, Louise. What was your rose?
It was definitely from Below Deck Med, June in the kitchen, seeing that it was filling with smoke and all because of this pan left on the stove. And she just did nothing. I don't know why, but like, I died. The insanity of it.
It was so funny. I actually made a gif of that moment for a tweet, and I had to rewatch it a few times just to get the gif right. And every time it was still as funny, if not funnier, just watching her. And I think what made me laugh the most in that moment was Kate Chastain tweeted, "At least we know June knows how to use the juicer." And I was like, that's so good. My thorn is going back to Southern Charm Reunion Part 1. Shep makes a comment at one point that truly exhibits, I think, his privilege. And he says, "I'm not taking government money," in reference to collecting his trust fund.
Right.
I'm not, like, taking government money, like, you know.
Well, nobody's accusing you of that.
So it sort of comes with this implication that if you are doing that, it's a bad thing. Whereas some people rely on that support. Mm-hmm. And no, not everyone does have a trust fund, Shep.
Yeah.
And some people do need that.
Like, I think the point he was making is, if I was spending your tax dollars, you would have a right to know where that money is going.
Right, right.
But I don't.
Yeah.
But, like, the way, it's just, honestly, if I could add on to your thorn,
yeah,
the other thing he said that I found so obnoxious is, like, none of this matters.
Right.
And I was like, God damn it, Chap. Like, then why do a reality? Why get up in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, you can use that logic to deflect everything.
Exactly.
But we're here. We're living. Let's make the most of it.
Keep it coming, chap.
My thorn was seeing Monique getting adjusted.
Oh, my God.
At the chiropractor.
Yes.
The table just increases the speed of the adjustment, so I don't have to use as much force.
My nerves are shot.
Don't the Father God help us all. We good.
First of all, I've done it, and it's fine. Watching people do it makes me ill.
Mm-hmm. I am terrified of chiropractors because, of course, I read one article one time where, like, a woman went to the chiropractor and she had an adjustment in her neck and it, like, snapped something. And then she was, like, paralyzed for months. And then she eventually, like, came back around. I think she had to, like, go back in. But it just, you know, oh. And I like to crack my knuckles. Like, I'm not totally opposed to those things. But just the idea of the neck, and especially knowing that Monique is pregnant, like, oh, it just freaked me out.
I asked a chiropractor, I was like, how many necks have you broken in your career? And he was like, none. Like, he's like, it is actually very hard to break a neck.
Right.
He said, you know, in movies, they make it look like it's just pop, pop. He's like, that is not how it works.
Well, that's good to know.
Made me feel better. I don't know if it's true.
Right. He's like, not this week. Next week, we're going to have Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm and Bravo superfan Evan Ross Katz.
Want more drama than The Real Housewives? Then go Inside Salem with the official podcast of Days of Our Lives. Join us for new episodes every other Monday as we take a look through the hourglass with show recaps, behind-the-scenes stories, and exclusive interviews with a cast of Days. Inside Salem has a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, so don't miss out. Be sure to listen and subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.